We turn again this morning to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and we read again verse 12 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 2, verse 12 and verse 13. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Dear congregation, just as the Lord protected Jesus, so he will protect his people. We are the apple of his eye. And so he will keep his eyes so focused upon us throughout our lives. We are sheltered by him. Our souls are safe in his hand. Dear brethren, trust him. He who holds your life, your soul in his hand. In Psalm 91 verse 1 we read, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Like with the psalmist, reflect upon what the Lord is to you and how He protects you, and place your faith in Him. We've come to the beginning of a new week. We're here at a new stage in our journey. Trust Him for protection this coming week. Now last week, as we came to these verses here in Matthew 2, we considered divine protection, rather but divine direction. God in a dream directed the wise men. They were warned not to return to Herod. And then there was direction for Joseph, as we noted there in verse 13. God directed them. And God directs us. We do not expect to hear the voice of the Lord in a dream today, because we have the whole word of God. But he directs us in his word and then in his providence. He directs us in the day of blessing, and he directs us through the fires, as we considered in Isaiah 24 this morning. He directs us in a time of danger. Be mindful of this, dear brethren, and look to him when you face danger. Well, last week we considered divine direction. This morning we come to consider divine protection. Last week, divine direction. This week, divine protection. And as we think of this morning, I'd like us to consider two things. Firstly, divine protection and our Lord. And we'll note how the Lord was protected here in these early days. And then secondly, divine protection and God's children. The wise men were protected, but also Joseph and Mary as well. So firstly, divine protection and our Lord. Secondly, divine protection and God's children. Verse 12. In being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. King Herod the Great was a ruthless and brutal man. He caused difficulty for many, including certain ones in his own family. And as we see in verse 13 this morning, he wanted to destroy the Lord Jesus. Back in verse 3, hearing that the Lord had been born, he was troubled. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He was stirred up, he was agitated, he was so cross and annoyed within, and great bitterness and anger arose now in his heart. He so hated Christ, and he sought to destroy him. That's plain, isn't it? Notice the end of verse 13. Until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. In Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2, we read these words. Why do the heathen rage, And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Well, think of King Herod. He was in a rage. He so hated Christ. He set himself against the Lord's anointed. He wanted him dead. However, God was protecting him. And we saw that briefly last week in the way the Lord directed the wise men and also Joseph. And it was so that they would be protected, but particularly the Lord. Now remember that Jesus was the object of the Father's great delight. In Proverbs 8 verse 30 we read, I was daily his delight. The Lord there is thinking of eternity. I was daily his delight. Think of that, such delight the Father found in the Son. We could also consider that the Son found such delight in the Father, but particularly the Father found such delight in the Son. His eye was so on him, and so when he was here in this world, his eye was particularly upon him, and he would assist him, as we will note in a moment, but also protect him. Now, in eternity before this world was created, the covenant of grace was made. And if you recall, Christ agreed to come and meet the condition of life here upon earth. Now, in that covenant being made, Christ was promised assistance in the work. Isaiah 42 verse 1, Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, whom I uphold. He was promised assistance. You remember those words in Isaiah 50, verse 6 and 7. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. And there's the evidence that he was assisted when he faced such cruel treatment in his humiliation. The Lord God helped him. So when the covenant was made, he was assured that he would be assisted and supported so that he would be able to complete the work. So also he would know protection. Yes, he must endure the wrath of God in full and suffer death. Yet there would be protection throughout his life so as to meet the condition of life in full. Being God, he could bear infinite wrath in his human nature. There was protection to some measure. He would not come short in meeting the condition. There was divine protection. And as you think of these early days when our Lord was so protected, are we not thankful? Because he could go all the way then to the cross. Herod could not destroy him. It would not be the end of Jesus. Why? Because he had a great work to do for you, dear brethren. And think of divine protection on our Lord. He was protected so that you would be protected from divine wrath and protected so often in your lives. So we begin here by considering divine protection and our Lord. There will be no hope of being protected for us, dear brethren, if our Lord wasn't protected here upon earth. There was divine protection. And are we not thankful the Lord was kept safe as a little child? Herod did not see his design implemented. Well, let's consider this a little further this morning. Divine protection and our Lord. Consider those early days, even before these days recorded for us in the second half of Matthew 2. Psalm 22, verse 9 and 10. He is our Lord in the psalm, looking back to his incarnation, that time when he was in the womb and then his delivery, and those early days afterwards. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb, thou art my God from my mother's belly. Consider the divine hand there, how the Lord was protected. There was a safe delivery. Listen to Spurgeon. Kindly providence attends with the surgery of tenderness at every human birth. But the Son of Man, who was marvellously begotten of the Holy Ghost, was in an especial manner watched over by the Lord when brought forth by Mary. You consider how Mary watched over the Lord. And you mothers, you in those early days particularly, but you continue to do so, you so watched over the little one. But consider the Heavenly Father so watching over his Son, God the Son, so protecting him in those early days. And here, Herod sought to destroy him, but the Lord was protecting him. In the dream, he would appear to the wise men to direct them to go to another way. Had they gone back to Jerusalem, they would have found themselves in great trouble. But also, Herod would know where the Lord was. You see, he was protecting the Lord. And then also, he tells Joseph to arise. Why? Because he would have the son protected. Consider a little later on, Satan came to tempt Jesus. Just before his public ministry really commenced. But there was divine protection. And then throughout his public ministry, often men sought to kill him before the appointed time, but they could not because of the divine hand. We read in John 7 verse 30, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. It wasn't the hour. They couldn't take him because of the divine hand of protection. You recall a few months ago we looked at Psalm 18, and in light of Hebrews we particularly consider the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Psalm 18 verse 1 and 2 we read this: I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Yes, we can think of David uttering those words, but we chiefly consider Christ. And Christ is considering particularly the Father. And the protection that was afforded to him whilst he was here upon earth. My fortress, my deliverer, my strength. And as Jesus sung those words in the synagogue often, he would rejoice in the way the Lord was protecting him. Well, consider this morning divine protection and our Lord. And as you do so, consider the grace, mercy and love towards the Son. What favour, what mercy. The Lord was in need as an infant here. And throughout his life, the Lord in great mercy protected him. But also the love of the Father. He so loved the Son, and so he would protect him. Consider again, if Herod had got hold of Jesus and destroyed him, where would you be today? You'd be in darkness and you'd be facing a lost eternity. Oh, dear brethren, as you consider divine protection and the Lord this morning, rejoice. He was protected for the glory of God, for the fellowship he would have with God, but also for you. Rejoice that your Saviour was protected in these early days, so that he could go all the way to the cross. Yes, he must suffer the wrath of God, but he would not totally sink under it because of divine protection. There was the divine hand, and it was there for him, and it was there for you, dear child of God. So firstly then, divine protection and our Lord. But let's consider secondly this morning, divine protection and God's children. Come with me to verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. See how the Lord was protecting these wise men. And then also Mary and Joseph, they were told, Joseph rather, he was told to flee into Egypt. You see, the Lord had his eye on them as well. The wise men would find themselves in such great trouble had they returned to Herod. Think of the trouble. Herod would have dealt cruelly with them. But the Lord's protecting them. He sends them home another way. Mary and Joseph, they would have been in great danger if Herod had found out where they were. And they would have been further in danger if they had not fled into Egypt. See the Lord's divine hand of protection on the wise men who were young converts, and also upon Mary and Joseph. See here how the Lord was protecting his people. Dear brethren, we live in hostile territory, and we face many dangers. Now consider the incarnation of Christ and the wonder of his birth and the singing and the joy that was known when he was born, and later here the joy that the wise men knew. There was much joy, but there was also great danger, not only for our Lord, as we have seen this morning, but also for the Lord's people. We live in hostile territory. We face great danger. Now, many of the Lord's people find themselves caught up in accidents or suffering from serious diseases. We recognize this. However, as we look over our lives, how often we have been delivered from some difficulty because of God's hand. Yes, sometimes in providence we have faced accidents. But how many times the Lord has kept us from unseen dangers, even this week? Unknown to us, we have all faced unseen dangers on the roads. Yet the Lord has protected us. Just after I passed my driving test, the very next day, got into the car, took the L plates off. You didn't have to keep them on longer or put on a P on the window to say that you had just passed. No, I took them off, got in the car, and nearly crashed the car just around the corner from where we lived. On the way back from our honeymoon, we were in Wales, and I took this corner only to be confronted with a great big lorry coming straight for us. And I don't know to this day how we missed, except God's hand of protection. Last Thursday, coming back from the doors, a great big lorry again cut the corner. How we missed it, I don't know, but the Lord was protecting us. And we've all got many stories, haven't we, to tell of how the Lord has protected us on the roads. But dear brethren, there are thousands of more occasions when the Lord protected you on the roads and you were not aware of the great danger that could have come your way. How often we make journeys and how often we safely have arrived at the destination. There's danger every time we make a journey, whether it be in a car or on a plane or on a train. There's danger all the time. Often we hear of accidents, do we not? How many miles, thousands of miles we have travelled in safety. And why? Because of God's hand of protection. Yes, accidents do come. But consider how often God protects his people. And look back over your lives. How the Lord has so protected you through many experiences. For some of you who have known the Lord for many years, consider the years the Lord has so watched over you and protected you. Consider how the Lord watched over you in those early days. You think of the wise men. Their spirits were revived when they saw the star because they had made a long journey and they were trying to find the place. Their spirits were revived. It was great joy. But they also knew at that time the joy of salvation. And they were new converts here as they gave these gifts to the Lord. How the Lord protected them in those early days. And how the Lord protected you in those early days since you came to faith in Jesus Christ. Satan so hated you because you are no longer under his tyranny. Now, dear brethren, in heaven the angels rejoice when a sinner repents. The devil is mad and he rages. And in those early days he will seek to do great harm to those new converts. Yet the Lord protects. You know, it's a thing to think of, isn't it? When someone's converted, they're in danger. Yes, their soul is safe, but the attacks will quickly come. Satan is so mad that they're no longer under his tyranny. And Satan was so mad at you when you became a Christian. The Lord had you safely in his hands in those early days. And since then, he's been looking out to you. Yes, you've faced difficulties. Yes, you've been in danger. You have faced accidents. But there has been a divine hand. And particularly we're considering now how he has preserved our souls. Psalm 121, the particular focus there is on the preservation of the soul. And this brings much comfort, does it not? Yes, at times we have faced accidents in the providence of God. But our souls have been kept safe. We find much comfort, do we not, that the Lord is watching over our souls. He's protecting our souls. I do feel much weakness. I feel my sin, my frailty. I have not the ability to protect or preserve my own soul, but he is able. And what comfort this affords. He has hold of you each and every day. He's protecting your soul. How thankful I am that my soul at this very moment is in the hands of Jesus and in the hands of my Heavenly Father. The souls of these wise men, Mary and Joseph, were in the hands of the Father as they fled into Egypt and as the wise men returned to their own country. Oh, dear brethren, rejoice this morning that your soul at this very moment is in the hands of Jesus. And it's safe there. John 10, verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall they any man pluck them out of my hand. But you're also in the Father's hand. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We're in the hands of the Lord. We're in the hands of the Father. We also know we're in the hands of the Holy Spirit, because he so loves us, and he is the comforter. He so seeks to comfort our souls. We're in his hand. All is well. There may be a storm raging around your body, but your soul is safe in the hands of Jesus. And no one can take your soul from Jesus' hand. You consider a newborn child. The little one is handled with much care and joy. Yesterday, some of you handled a little baby. You handled it with care and with joy. Dear brethren, we're handled with care and joy in the Father's arms. You know, sometimes you may have a parcel come through your door and it's wrapped up in paper. And on the parcel it reads, fragile, handle with care. Dear brethren, you are wrapped up in God's mercy and he handles you with care. So caring are his hands, so strong. You think how the Lord looked back to those early days in Psalm 22, how there was the Father's hand. And the Lord would consider these days the Father's hand, such a caring hand. Dear brethren, look back and consider the present. You are so handled in such a caring way. You are wrapped up in his mercy. And he rejoices to hold you. Yes, at times there is his frown upon us because we backslide, but he rejoices to hold you in his hand, and he so protects you. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No man. You may have someone that so causes you difficulty in this world, and at times they may hurt you, but they cannot take your soul from the hands of Jesus. They cannot pluck you away. It's impossible. My grandfather used to hide something in his hand, and then he would ask me to try and open his fingers. He was a farmer and his hands were strong, and I could never do it. Dear brethren, no one will be ever able to take you from Jesus. You're in his hands. You're in the Father's hands. They cannot take you. Yes, they can cause you great difficulty. And certain Christians have faced death because of the cruel hands of men. But no believer has been taken from the hands of Jesus. The church faces danger in this nation. Let's be aware of this. There is dangers outside. It's not all calm in this nation, is it? There are dangers. There are dangers facing the church. Men can be so cruel. Gossip is a horrible thing. Words can hurt and penetrate your mind. And one can find themselves keep going over those words of gossip and words of hurt. But one cannot destroy your soul or take it from the Lord. You're in his hands. And when you see Jesus at death, you'll still be in his hands. What a wonderful truth. Consider his power to protect. How he has such power. 1 Peter 1 verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're kept by God's power. What a comfort that is. We're kept by God's power. And think of his power. It's infinite. Infinite power is keeping you so you will enjoy a wonderful eternity. None can stay his hand. None can undo his grasp of us. He has such power to protect us. We do not. We cannot keep ourselves, but God can. Remember, underneath are the everlasting arms. Some children think themselves strong. I used to when I was young. Used to think I had strong arms. How weak I was and am. Consider the everlasting arms. He has power to protect us. Blessed be his name. We face dangers. We are a vessel on the ocean. Sometimes we experience a time of calm. At other times there is great danger. But oh, we are safe in the hands of the Lord. Satan may make his surprise attacks. Remember those words in 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's a roaring lion. There comes his surprise attacks. He cannot destroy us, but he will attack us. The darts suddenly will come. The whispers are heard and they're repeated over and again in your mind. And your minds can be so oppressed. It's hard, isn't it? When we keep hearing the whispers of the devil. Yet the Lord is there to protect you. Remember those words to Simon Peter. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. You know, sometimes you may go on a particular ride and you're tossed up and down all over the place. It's not a pleasant experience for many, is it? At times we find ourselves, as it were, in a sieve, tossed up and down. The attacks are so upon us. The darts are so coming one after another. We're in great danger, but the Lord is making intercession for us that our faith does not fail. He's making intercession now. He makes intercession for us when we're facing a great attack. He's always making intercession. You will not be taken from his hands, for his intercession prevails. It's powerful and it prevails. Satan cannot snatch you from the hands of Jesus. Jesus has such a tight grip on you. He will not let you go. He so loves you. He has such favor towards you. He thinks on you in mercy. He will not let you go. He will continue to make constant intercession for you, which always prevails. Oh, dear brethren, remember you are watched over by the Lord. And you consider here, the Lord was watching the wise men every step of the journey back to their own country. And the Lord was watching Mary and Joseph all the while they were in Egypt. Notice verse 13, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. And it's implied, isn't it, the Lord was watching them in Egypt, and at his appointed time, he would speak to them in a dream, as we see in verse 19, and direct them to go back. He watches over us throughout the whole journey. Every step of the journey, his eye is on you. He's always keeping. He's always watching. How many hours do you sleep each day? Well, not many, some of us. For others, maybe a bit longer. We all need our sleep, and the Lord is merciful. The Lord giveth his beloved sleep. You know how it is? You may have not been able to sleep for a while, but then you're just sent to sleep by the Lord, and you find rest. We have sleep. There's times when we're not thinking. The Lord never sleeps. He's always watching. He's always keeping. Psalm 121, verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He doesn't take his eye off you for one half moment, because he so loves you. And he so cares for you, and he will protect you. He keeps you every moment. The word keepeth there in the psalm, shomar in the Hebrew, means to hedge about, to guard, to protect, to attend. He watches over you to keep you, to hedge you about, to guard you. The Lord, dear brethren, is thy keeper. He guards you. He protects you. Remember what he said to Abraham, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Thy shield and thy great reward. And dear brethren, he is our great reward because he protects us. And rewards will come in the future because he protects us. He will be with you and protect you in every situation. He'll keep hold of your soul in the danger. Even in the last valley, as your body so decays, he will be keeping hold of your soul. We are assured of protection. Why? Because Christ was protected here in this chapter. See the blessings to you because of your covenant head who was assisted in the work and protected whilst he was doing it. Consider your blessed Redeemer this morning, how he protects you. Isaiah 32 verse 2, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. I've been listening to some of you, you find yourselves weary this week in the heat. I was in London a few years ago, and this pastor from Africa was addressing this congregation. And he said, well, you're finding it hard, aren't you? The temperature's in the 30s. Well, we have it in the 50s. And we just get on with our duty and our work. We just get on with life. But you know what it is to be weary when the sun is so hot. And you know what it is to be weary when the sun of affliction is beating down upon your head. Yet the Lord is a great rock in a weary land too. This is a weary land. This world isn't heaven, is it? It's a weary land, yet the Lord is a great rock to you. He's a hiding place from the wind. The storms of adversity come, he protects you. He will see you through every step of the journey. His eye was upon Mary and Joseph throughout their whole time in Egypt. Consider how the Lord has looked out to you. And look to the future. He will not fail you. He will see you safely home to glory. Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He will. Because of his grace, because of his mercy and love, because of his hand of protection. He's begun that work in you. He'll protect your soul. You will get there. Trust him. John Newton wrote, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. As he has, so he will. He will protect you. As we saw last week, he will direct you in his providence and through his word. The Spirit will take the word and apply it to your souls. He will direct you to heaven and he will protect you so you get there. You will safely get to the gates of heaven. Well, consider this morning, Jesus was protected. And what was one of the great reasons that Jesus was protected? It was this, that you might be saved. And that you might be kept and protected in life. That you might find yourself in heaven at last. Divine direction. Look to the Lord for it, dear brethren. As Mary and Joseph did in Egypt. They waited upon the Lord in Egypt until the appointed time. Look to the Lord for direction. And look to the Lord for protection. Because he will keep you, as we see here in this chapter. Amen. Let us pray.